So we've been thinking about this topic now for the last two weeks as we enter Holy Week, and it's called Exceeding All Expectations. And I'm going to move right over to the title of our message this morning, which is this, which is He is Risen. And I want to stop for a second. I want to think about expectations. We kind of teed this up last week. Don't expectations just really drive our lives? They really do. You know, when you go somewhere and maybe you're going out to eat and you're like, you have just like, you know, you're salivating before you get there, you know, it just drives what's going to go on in your life. And boy, if it's not quite up to par, man, it just lets you down hard, doesn't it? You know, and expectations drive a lot of things. They drive sporting events. You know, we go into games sometimes thinking we have no chance of winning. And usually that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You know, many times, you know, we see it in the business world. Expectations drive the market. You know, how many times, you know, just a few weeks ago, right? Gas suddenly went to $4.29 overnight because of the war. So expectations drive everything. Thankfully, it settled back down to $3.99, and we all feel good now, right? Not really, but expectations just drive everything. And what I want to say today is, you know, a lot of us, like Christians, we're driven by expectations too. Now, I want everybody to look up for a second this morning. We are driven by this expectation in our lives that things sometimes aren't going to get any better. You know, we're just kind of going through the motions, just kind of grinding out our lives. And what I want to say this morning is that Jesus died and rose again, and He exceeded all expectations so we can live a life that has joy and promise and hope no matter what. We don't have to be kind of trapped by our expectations because He's exceeded all expectations. So I want to share with you guys an eternal truth this morning. And if you're new with us for the first time, we try to lay this out each week. This is sort of, if anybody runs into you in the parking lot, hopefully not with their car, but if they run into you and they say, "What happened at church? What was he talking about?" This is it. Jesus' resurrection and victory over sin and death forever exceeds all human expectations. Like no one could have been there and thought about that, right? You know, you hear this phrase a lot these days. People said, "Man, that just blindsided me." You know, well, Jesus' resurrection blindsided a whole lot of people. But praise God for what it means. So I want to just lay this out real quick. I like to give this too. I call it the interpretive statement. So the fact that Jesus' resurrection and victory over sin and over death forever exceeds all expectations, these things must be true. Therefore, everything is changed. We are not governed by our expectations, we can exceed them too, because God did. The power of sin and death has been conquered forever. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15, we read a lot from that chapter. That's the resurrection chapter in the Bible. Man, sin has been conquered. Death has been conquered. Those are the two greatest enemies of all of mankind. You know, we can have a deep and a fulfilling eternal relationship with the eternal God, creator of the universe. It's possible through Christ. Everybody look up. It's possible no matter what you did, no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, no matter who your parents are, no matter what country you came from. It doesn't matter because Jesus Christ conquered sin and conquered death for you and everyone else. And that's huge. These are huge revelations to us. And the next thing is this. How about this one? We are never hopeless in this life or in eternity. Amen. And how many times have we said that? It's hopeless. You know what? In Christ, it's never hopeless. And you know what? Even if we die, it's going to get better. It's never hopeless. And I'll throw this out. We are never helpless. God invites us to Him. He says, "Come boldly to my throne of grace. You have a need. Come to me. I can help you with that. I can meet it. I can exceed it." And this is all because Jesus is alive. So I want to take us back real quick to where we were on Friday evening. We had our Good Friday service, and it was a blessing. We praise God. Good Friday remembered. And I want to remember this in the context of the people, the witnesses to Jesus' death. And I want to think about three things. What they saw, what they experienced and what they believed or not. So we're going to kind of dive in and kind of look at that this morning. So we want to look right over to the scriptures. Just take us there. Sam, thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Check this out. This is Mark chapter 15. And what's happening here is this is Good Friday. And some people say, why do they call it good? You know, it's really good because Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sins. The way he died, how he died, was pretty horrific. But the outcome of his death was miraculous for all of mankind. So here's a quick account as you look at this and just turn in your Bibles to Mark 15. It says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and he breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom so that when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. And I want to throw out to you, centurions, right? These Roman centurions, they sort of majored in death. They understood death. They understood how to win battles. They understood how to be just uncaring, unfeeling, and focused on one thing, which was carrying out the plans of Rome and the plans of their officers. And this centurion was just touched, and we saw Jesus die. And I want you guys to get a hold of that. Jesus didn't die, by the way, in a vacuum. He didn't die all by himself. You know, he died, and the whole world saw him die a humiliating, painful, powerful death. They all saw that. And it says, and there were women, looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and of Salome. And by the way, these women, they were in the inner circle with Jesus. They were close to Jesus. James the Less was a disciple, a follower of Christ. Joseph was as well. And Salome was possibly, some said, a family, like a far-reaching family member of Jesus through Mary. And these guys, they came to the tomb, and it says, and they also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So these ladies are eyewitnesses to what happened. They're watching the horrific circumstances of the trials of Jesus, of his crucifixion, and of his death when he finally gives up his spirit. And they see Jesus, by the way. Remember, he says to them, about the crowd, he says, you know, Father, forgive this crowd because they don't know what they're doing. He says, they see him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? They see all these things and they take it all in. And these women, you know, God recognizes them so much because they're the first to see that Jesus is alive. And I want to go into the next verse real quick. Sam, if you advance me there, please. And it says, and now when the evening had become, because it was the preparation day, you guys understand, this was the day before the Sabbath, and it was the day before the Sabbath of the Passover. Like, this is the evening. This is like the day before Christmas to us. This is the pinnacle time. And this day was coming, and they wouldn't leave a Jewish dead body on the cross. And so it happens that there's this follower of Christ. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. It says a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. And I want to throw out to all of us, you know what? A lot of us, you know, we celebrate this holiday. We're so wrapped up into our lives. But you know what? A lot of us are, we are waiting to be delivered. We're waiting for the kingdom of God. And this is one of those guys. And it says, and he was coming and took courage and went into Pilate, the one who condemned Jesus, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead. By the way, people could take days to die on the cross. Jesus died within hours. He was probably beaten to within an inch of his life. And when they crucified him, in God's perfect timing, Jesus gave up the ghost and he died. And Pilate marveled at this, you know, and the centurion, he actually asked the centurion, he said, you know, is it true? Is he really dead? Remember, I mentioned this. It's such an important fact. Jesus didn't swoon. Jesus wasn't just, you know, knocked out. Jesus really died. The people that investigated it, they really knew death. Jesus was gone. And he said, and he asked him, had he been dead for some time? And he continued, said, so when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph, and they bought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, laid him in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And here's these three ladies. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. So I want you to get this in your minds. These people, by the way, they had some expectations. Jesus was laid in the tomb. And I want to share with you, when we go to the cemetery, we don't expect to see those people that we laid in the tomb alive. Sometimes we talk to them. Sometimes we pray there. Sometimes we reflect and we, you know, think about some of the things that have gone on in the lives of those people as they intersected our lives. But we never expect them to rise from the dead. And these folks didn't either. By the way, Jesus said it a number of times. Not only they couldn't hear it, they couldn't understand it, but they just had no idea what was going to happen. And I want to just turn over to the next thing. And I want you guys to understand, you know, these ladies, they saw a lot. They experienced a lot. And they believed that when they went to the tomb on Sunday morning, Jesus' body would be laying right where it was. And I want to throw that out. Everybody look up for a second. You know what? You know how we look at life a lot? We are so wrapped up in what we are able to do that we sort of leave God out of the picture. Some of you actually use this phrase. You know, if you leave God out, this is what's going to happen. And if you leave God out, that's what's going to happen. But here's the thing. Everybody look up. You know, we're believers in Christ. And Jesus is alive, so we're not going to leave God out, right? And that's going to change the way we look at life and look at our circumstances, because we're not leaving God out. God's in, and Jesus is alive, so the game is different. It's beyond our expectations. It exceeds them. So I want to take a minute. I want to look at the next thought here real quick. And thank you, Sam. Sam's ahead of me, and that's good. Thanks, Sam. Go right back up to that verse. Go back to the outline part first where you just were. Thank you. Just kind of three things I want us to think about. Think about their arrival and what was their aim. When these ladies got there, they had a plan in mind, by the way, like most of you ladies do, right? Some of you guys are going, I hope the preacher's not too long because the ham got to get in the oven. You're thinking about all things got to go on. You know, so-and-so's got to go back. They're going back to school. They're doing this. They're doing that. You got a plan, right? These ladies had an aim. They were thinking about what was going to happen. And then when it didn't happen quite the way they thought, they had some questions. And it left them, like many of you, very alarmed. Because it wasn't going the way they thought. And you know how that goes. When things don't go how we thought, when our expectations aren't being met, you know, it kind of raises the blood pressure. Your pulse beats a little quicker. You know, your face turns a little red. You start to sweat. You start to get upset. And that's kind of where they are. So let's dive into the text, if we would, Sam. Thanks a lot for doing that. And look what it says. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. So get this idea in your mind. Here's their aim. They arrive at the tomb. They leave, by the way, while it's still dark. They get there. The sun is coming up. And when they get there, you know, by the way, there's going to be a surprise, but they have a game plan in mind. They want to preserve the body of Jesus. It's different than today. They don't call the funeral director. You know, they don't embalm. They didn't do the same things that we do. By the way, some of those things do go back many, many centuries. But the Jews did it different. So they would come and they're going to prepare the body so that decay doesn't become a more horrific thing than it is already. And they're coming to do that. And they are pretty clear what they want to do. And then that's what it says. It says, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Remember, they left in the dark. They got here. Sun's up. And it says, and when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And by the way, one of the big questions in their mind as they came there was, what? who's going to roll it away? I mean, they might have been strong ladies, but this stone weighed a lot. The purpose of the stone was to protect the body from animals, protect it from robbers, protect it from all those things. And the stone was there. It was a serious thing. It was well designed. It was thought out. It did really roll. It kind of rolled in like a track almost along the side of the tomb. But these ladies said, I hope someone else is there, like a caretaker, to roll it away for us, to help us do that. And when they get there, the stone is rolled away. And they're going, wait a second. What's going on here? And again, like I use us, you know, we kind of live in this world where nothing exceeds our expectation. What do you think their thoughts were? Did someone steal Jesus? You know, was it some animals? What happened? What's going on here? This is not what I expect. And it says, but when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And I want you guys to get this in your heart real quick, right? You would be too, and so would I. I'm going to the cemetery. I'm not expecting to see the live person gone. I'm not expecting to see anybody else in the tomb. Something's going on here. So they're upset. They're alarmed. Something's going on. Their expectation is not being met. And I want to just stop for a minute and say, let's go to the next point. There's first alarm. And then there's awe at the tomb because Christ is risen. He's gone. And there's kind of three things you want to kind of wrap your hands around for a second. One is they're having a conversation with this angelic being. That's kind of scary in itself. He gives them a command, and then there's a course of action that they follow. They obey. You know, I guess they understand what to do, and they do it. So let's just take a look at this conversation. What happens? And by the way, I'm going to share it with you guys, and we mentioned this before. You know, Mark is this action-packed gospel. It doesn't give us a lot of words, but it's like, you know, bam, bam, bam. Things are going on quick. So they get there. The stone's rolled away. What's going on? We're alarmed. They speak to the angel. And he said to them, don't be alarmed. Don't the angels always say that? We are afraid. What do they say? Fear not. Don't be alarmed. It's okay. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. That's kind of a good word for us, isn't it? Because in the midst of life, when things happen, where do we go? Alarmed. Wait, we forget that God is in the equation. We forget that Jesus did rise from the dead. Death is conquered. Sin is conquered. There really is hope. We forget those things. So the angel says something that we all need to take heart. You know what? Don't be alarmed. And I'll throw this out. Everybody, raise your hand. Life is going just the way you planned. How come nobody's hand is up? Because it seems like it never goes the way we planned, right? Everybody hear me out. Three words. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. And we do it. We do it, by the way, on the little things, and we do it on the big ones. And we live this life where we are stressed and we are alarmed all the time. Don't be alarmed. Jesus is alive. And that's what he wants us to understand. And look what he says. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Everybody look up. You know, today we have this thing in the church all over the world. On Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, the greeting is what? He is risen. And then what? How's it go after that? He is risen indeed. Everybody look up. Shouldn't that be our greeting every day? Yes. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He's risen. We're going to be okay. He's risen. I know it's not your plan, but God's plan overcomes yours. He's risen indeed. And I'll throw this out. I mean that in a serious way. You know, on Easter Sunday, I like what John said. He said, we're all looking pretty because it's Easter Sunday. Amen, right? We're all looking pretty. We got kind of an upbeat spirit because it's Easter Sunday. Well, guess what? Tomorrow's Easter Monday. And when you go to work tomorrow, you're not going to be saying, "He's risen! He's risen indeed!" You're hoping that you're risen. Right? I mean, that's the challenge. But we live life, and I'm trying to say is, we live life on this level of our expectations, but Jesus has exceeded all expectations, and no matter what's going to come tomorrow, he's risen, and he's risen indeed, and we're going to be okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. We have a sister who prays on our prayer meeting on Zoom on Tuesdays, and I love what she says. She says, "All is well." You know, we sing that song, "It is well with my soul." But I'll throw out to you guys, a lot of times, it's not well with my soul, and all is not well in my soul, because I forget that Jesus is risen, he's risen indeed. And I want to encourage us, that's got to be our heartbeat day after day, not just on Easter Sunday morning. You know, and I just want to continue. It says, so he makes this statement, and he says, "See the place where they laid him." And I want you guys to understand, by the way, that the fact that Jesus died and rose again is a pretty well-documented fact of history. You know, we have a calendar based on it. We have ample testimonies. We have ample manuscripts that support this truth. And he says, "See the place where they laid him." But he says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." So right away, everybody look up. You know, church is missional. It means we're not just here like to be spectators. We are here. This is like the huddle. This is the training ground. This is where we get our marching orders. This is where we understand what God wants us to do. By the way, I'm not giving the marching orders. I'm just verbalizing them. God's given them. If I go outside God's marching orders, please don't listen to me. Listen to God. But God gives the marching orders, and he gets us in the church together, and he says, and by the way, this is what we need to be telling each other day by day. Go tell the disciples he's risen and he's going to see you. Let's go to Galilee. And here they are. That's what they're going to do. It says, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And I want you to get this in your minds. If you had to make a choice today, do you want to be alarmed or do you want to be amazed? Too often, we're living life alarmed. We need to live life amazed. Amen? He's risen? How's it go? He's risen indeed. By the way, he's still going to be risen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I don't know what else is going to enter your life, but Jesus will still be risen. And it's not going to change that. You may feel like it does, but it's not going to change that. And I want to say these words, alarm becomes amazement. And I want to throw this out. As a result of Easter Sunday morning and the resurrection of Jesus, let your alarm become amazement. Let us walk in faith in that amazement. I'll never explain how Jesus rose from the dead. I'll never figure it out, you know, biologically or any of those other ways. But, man, I stand amazed and I stand in his grace. And that just changes the ballgame. So we want to slide ahead. So we understand these people, man, they had just an amazing experience. And I want you guys to get this in your minds. The Apostle Paul kind of took this experience, you know, and he met Jesus as well. And it says, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, and it says these words, it says, "And so when the corruptible, our flesh, has put on incorruption in the power of God's Spirit, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory." And I'm going to throw this out. By the way, that's the worst foe. That's the final foe. That's the biggest foe that we have on this world is death. And Paul says, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" And I'll throw this out. We feel the sting of death when someone passes. But when we look at that in the context of Jesus' resurrection and the fact that we will rise the same way, death's sting is fixed. Death's sting is cured. He says, "Oh, grave," or Hades, "where's your victory?" when you go there, go to those places, those cemeteries, man, it feels like a dark place, even in the daylight. It feels like a sad place. But because Jesus arose, he said, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. You know, sin is what makes us fear God because we're disobeying God. We fear the consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We go, ooh, that's bad. And then the Bible says later on in Romans 6, it says, the wages of sin is death, but it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're winners. How many people feeling like a winner today? Some of you are sleeping, or I'll throw this down. Yeah. You're not probably sleeping. You're just feeling beaten up by the world, by Satan, and by our circumstances. And what God wants to do on this resurrection day is to elevate us out of those circumstances and remind us that we're victors. And remind us that Jesus is indeed alive. Sam, we're going to slide ahead. So guess what? In every crowd, there's some doubters, isn't there? There's people that got ripped off somewhere else. They're skeptical about everything. And they're skeptical about Jesus, too. Excuse me. So what does God do? He lets them see Jesus face to face. We see Mary Magdalene. We see two disciples. We see all the disciples except Judas. And then he commissions them. So we're going to move on. Check out this passage. It says, now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And I want you guys to understand, by the way, Mary Magdalene, close follower of Jesus, probably a really big sinner. The kind of sin that we don't talk about. We don't want to talk about. The kind of people we go, I don't know if I want to hang out with them. I know they said they're Christians now, but I don't know. So isn't it cool, by the way, that's the people God saves. And that's the people God gives powerful testimonies to. That's the people that God uses to broadcast this message and the reality of it and the power of it. And it says, so he appeared to her first. And she went out and she told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. You know what? Isn't that us? Jesus is alive. We hear it. I don't know. I'm skeptical. We want to go back and just be governed by our expectations of nothing's going to get better. And they don't really believe it. So God has to show them. It says that when they heard that he was alive and had been sent by her, get the phrase, they did not believe. Check out the next one. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did what? They did not believe them either. And they walked with Jesus. Well, I was hoping for a Coke. Thanks. Thank you, God. I appreciate that. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That's good, right? So they don't believe. And I'm going to go to the next verse. Look what happens. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. This is so important. Has anyone ever doubted their faith? Let's be real. Doubt your faith? You doubt that God's going to intervene? There's a believer in our crowd. He said this. He said, I know God's able. I just don't know if he will. Right? You've been there, right? We all there. And the Lord, by the way, everybody look up. The Lord gets us. By the way, you guys see that commercial on TV? He gets us. They spent several $1 million to get that. It's kind of a cool thing. He does get us. And you know what? He gets us because he knows that we are but flesh. And he knows our flesh is weak, and he knows that we stumble and we doubt and we fear and all those things. And Jesus, by the way, notice he didn't say to his disciples, "You guys, I'm done with you all. I just rose from the dead and you still don't believe it." He doesn't say that. He goes to them and he corrects them like a loving father. And he says to them, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And I want to encourage you today, everybody look up. I want to encourage you today. That's us. Because we naturally just settle down into our expectations, into our ability, to live life and solve its problems, and we forget that Jesus is alive. You know, and we kind of believe it in our head, but we don't live like it in our heart and in our shoes. And Jesus wants to change that. And by the way, that's what we need to do today. You know, we've been through a lot. Yeah, you know, I never thought I'd experience a global pandemic. I never thought I'd experience some of the madness of the last 3 years. But guess what? We have. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is still alive. He's still alive. And he tells them, he says, you know what? Now you guys understand. And by the way, you know this. It says this in Luke 24. Remember doubting Thomas and others? They had to put their finger in his nail prints and their hands in his side to go, "Dag, Jesus, you really did rise from the dead." And they're people just like us, right? So he did that, and he showed them so that they then could broadcast the message with power. They believed it. God gave them the Holy Spirit like he gave to us to lead us, to strengthen us, to empower us. And he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And he's saying this, you know, he's saying, guess what, world? You want to change life? Believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, don't get hung up on believe and be baptized. Baptism, you know what baptism does? It solidifies on the outside what happened already in your heart on the inside when you believe. Because when you go in the tank or out in the river or in the lake, that's how he did it that day. When people saw you, they go, "I know that guy." It took some humility, took some courage to step up and say, "I believe." And that's what he's talking about here. So he said, believe, and your life is going to change. And your faith will grow if we trust the Lord day by day. As we read his word, as we struggle, as we wrestle, as we fail, God will strengthen us in the battle. And then he says to the disciples these words. He says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they'll be recovered." And I want to say this to us. You know what? Don't we see that in, read the book of Acts. By the way, the Acts of the Apostles is the historical book of the New Testament. And it follows these men who were like simple, ordinary men, most of them. You know, they had different walks of life. You know, Luke was a doctor, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Paul was a trained theologian. But when we follow the history of these men, Peter was a fisherman. John was a fisherman. You know, we had Matthew, the tax collector. We had Thomas, by the way, who went over to India. We had all these guys. And Acts kind of begins to follow their journey of trusting Christ, messing up and getting back up, you know, and it follows them. And when we see that, we see these signs. We see them cast out demons. We see them speak with new tongues in Acts chapter 2 and other places. They take up serpents. Remember, Paul is bitten by a serpent, and he lives. And everybody can't believe it. They think he's God. We read that in Acts as well. And it says about drinking poison. There's no account that I could think of that says that exactly in the scriptures, but it probably happened. And it says, and they'll lay hands on the sick. We see them raising the sick all the time and even the dead. So, wow. And I want to say this. Everybody look up. This is important for us to take with us. Jesus is alive. So when we live life with his power. And you may not feel like that either, right? But we live life with his power. It's a powerful thing to know the living God and have him live within inside you. So what happens next? The ascension. And there's two things we want to grab hold of. Their witness of God's power and their witness to the world. And we'll just look at the verse real quick and we're going to wrap it up. Check it out. So then after the Lord had spoke to them, he was received up into heaven. By the way, this happens later on. Jesus is ascended up days and days later. And he sits down at the right hand of God. They see his ascension. It must have been amazing. And it says, and they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And that's what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to live it, and he wants us to share it. You know, and by the way, one of the great things about Easter is we want to invite all of our friends to church on Easter because, man, it looks better than it looks any other week. It's an incredible event. It's sort of the Super Bowl of Christianity. Come on out. You know, we're having a big party at church, and we are. And we are because, you know what? It's a day that changes all of human history. Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed, and life is different. So I'm going to leave you with a couple thoughts to close. Because you're saying, okay, so what's that got to do with me today? Remember, everything's changed. The power of sin and death has been conquered forever. I can have a deep, fulfilling, eternal relationship with God through Jesus. We are never hopeless, and we are never helpless. Changes life, doesn't it? Now I'm going to throw this out. Do we live that way every day? We live like we went to the tomb and the stone wasn't rolled away and Jesus is still there and there's no power. God wants us to live in a different way. Sam, take us to the next thing. We'll leave a couple verses to think about. Going all the way back to Isaiah. Remember God said this, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Amen to that. Nor are your ways mine, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than yours. Amen to that, right? I don't think Jesus is going to come out of the tomb. That just kind of blew their mind, exceeded all their expectations. Well, check this out. And Sam, take me to the next verse, if you would. Next two screens, actually. Isaiah continued with this. He said this. And by the way, I hope this is your heart today. The word of God is analogized to rain. We just experienced that last night. By the way, my lawn looked better today. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, and it makes it spring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Today, you know, we had a chance to think about Easter in a lot of ways, in song, our children, you know, reading a poem. We heard the word of God. And the word of God is coming down to on us like rain today, and like rain on a parched ground because we've been through so much. And some of us are going through different things that happened outside of all the extras that we experienced in these last 3 years, we are dry as a bone. And the word of God has come down today and it said, you know what? Jesus is alive. And the whole game has changed. And our expectations don't have to be limited to us and our power. We have the power of God within us. We have a relationship with the living God. And I want to throw out the next verse here, Sam. Isaiah was just amazing as he wrote this down. Look what he said. My brothers and my sisters, let's live like it's true. Let's live with joy today. By the way, not just at church. We sang awesome today, right? You know, I wasn't supposed to be singing, but the words were up there. I'm singing right along with George and everyone else, right? We are praising God because we love the song. We love the theme. We love the spirit. But let's do it tomorrow, Monday. Amen. Look what he says. He said, and you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And you know what that everlasting sign is? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, as we respond to this, Lord, help us as believers in Christ, Lord, to make this part of our everyday experience. Father God, help us to live this way in spite of what is going on and what will go on. Father God, if there's anyone here that doesn't have this hope and this, Father, this certainty in their lives, this power in their lives, I pray, dear God, that they, like the disciples and like each of us that have followed in their midst, would receive Jesus today. Father, this is why it matters, because our lives are a mess and we need God. We need change. Lord, work in us today. Father, if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you personally through Jesus, help them to understand, Lord, that they need to just put their faith in the fact and believe that Jesus is your son, that he died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for their rebellion, and that he rose again, conquering sin, conquering death, and giving them a relationship with him. Lord, go with us, Lord, now as we prepare to go. Father, help us even now as we sing this song, these songs. Help us to sing with joy. But I pray, dear God, that our joy would not end when we leave this building, but it would permeate our steps day by day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.